Hello and welcome to Not Often Heard, the podcast. And this is one of our Eurovision specials. This time we're looking at Eurovision semi-final number 2 in Rotterdam. Hello, my name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
So, guys, semi-final 2. Semi of death, as I'm calling it, as we shall see what happens. Slightly more songs in this one because we've got 17 instead of 16. I suppose we should really crack on with it because we in our last podcast, if you listen to episode 1 of our 2021 series, you would know we waxed lyrical about how great it was to have Eurovision back. Well, we're kind of over that now, aren't we, I guess?
Yeah, but it is still great for it to be back. I'm just going to say that.
So, 17 acts to get through. Shall we crack on and have a look at the first one?
Yep.
Go for it.
We are going to San Marino and it's Senhit featuring Florida, or Florida, sorry, and Adrenalina.
Yes, it's featuring the entire state of Florida.
Well, if you can have pre-recorded backing vocals this year, Alex, why not?
I think that might just exceed the 6 people limit. Just a hunch.
So, quite a buzz around this one pre-contest anyway.
Senhit, she played a good publicity game, didn't she?
Definitely. And because San Remo is tiny. Tiny. And they've always struggled to qualify. They don't get through very often. So when they do, it's a really big deal. Okay, so what did we think? Mark, do you want to kick us off?
Oh, that headdress. It was very goddess, wasn't it? Very goddess. I thought it was great from start to finish, if I'm perfectly honest. I don't think Flo Rida really added anything special by being there. It was nice for him to be there, but I thought it was a really good song, really good way to kick off this show. Really get the adrenaline pumping. I did think the vocals were off at times, maybe a bit nervy to start off with. But yeah, okay. And I found myself singing it and, you know, that Adrenalina. Just the randomly throughout the day.
Alex, what did you think?
This was one of the ones that was in my top 10. Because during the night, I sort of like scored them all, picked my top 10, and basically scored myself on how many of my top 10 got through into the final. And this is one of the ones that I picked. So I really liked it. I thought, you know, it was very catchy. It had sort of like almost kind of Latin pop feel. And no, the whole performance was a really great way to kick off the show, I thought.
Yeah, it's interesting you said, Mark, about Flo Rida saying, you know, was he really needed? I mean, indeed, they did the first week of rehearsals or so with the stand-in doing his part. So he really wasn't needed for that bit. And he kind of rocked up the day before the live show to do the rehearsals. And I see stuff on, like, on the streams, on the blogs and stuff where I get the sense that he wasn't particularly clued up maybe at the beginning into what he was letting himself in for and what the whole Eurovision experience was. But he's totally on board with it. He's having the time of his life and he's really enjoying himself.
I mean, for me, it looked like he did.
For me, it wasn't badly sung at all, I thought. It was staged well. You got your pyros, you got lots of energy. As you said, a great song to kick the contest off with near the semi two. I don't particularly like the costumes, to be honest. not, again, gimmicky. Not really my kind of thing. I think this is the kind of thing that's going to win the televote, but I'm not sure how it's going to do with the juries on that.
Yeah.
Flo Rida is enough to pull in, I think, a few extra televotes and give some massive publicity to the contest and San Marino.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting, if they do win, then they will not be hosting it in San Marino because there isn't an arena big enough, apparently. So it would go to nearby Rimini. in Italy would be kind of got that earmarked already. I'd love to know who is bankrolling them, though. Who on earth has paid for Flowrider to come up for San Marino? So that remains a mystery. Maybe we'll find out one day. Okay, on to song number two, which is Estonia. Uku Suvist, The Lucky One. A bit of a change of gear, I think, with this one. I've wrote down Calm After the Storm. See what I did there, Storm. Because San Marino's very hyper, and then this was a little bit calmer. Competent performance, but nothing to grab people, I thought. And I felt like he got a bit lost. Alex, what did you reckon?
I thought it was all right. You know, what he was wearing, you know, kind of nice shirt, black pants, the undone bow tie. It's kind of a timeless look. Mm. Like, you're not going to go wrong going up on a stage dressed like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a decent ballad. Graphics were interesting in terms of what was going on in the background, but it was nice. Not, like, mind-blowingly entertaining, but yeah. I liked it.
Mm, that's the problem, I think. It's not eliciting strong feelings. It's not, wow, that's great, or, oh, that's horrible. It's just, it's there. It's all right.
Yeah.
What did you think? What do you think, Mark?
Go on, Alex, finish off.
No, I was just saying that this was another one that also made my top 10, but I think that's partly because I have some strong feelings about some of the other songs. But we'll get to that.
Oh yes, we will. I think you've both said it all, and I think he's damned by faint praise. Quite frankly,
yeah,
competent, nice enough, but just did not stand out at all. Faded into the background.
Oh. Well, we shall move swiftly on then to song number three. We're from the Czech Republic, Benny Christo and Omega. Omega. Wait, it's not Omega. Omega. It's not Omega? The Doctor Who reference, Omega? Maybe? Omega? what did you think? What did you think to this one, Alex?
I liked it. It was a nice tune. I thought his vocals were half decent. I really like the outfit. Like, I want that jacket. I really, really want that jacket.
It's kind of gold and glittery, I think, isn't it? So how it looks in this lighting.
Didn't they say?
Oh, is it?
They said it was all crystals, wasn't it? They just said it in the commentary. Oh, yes. It was like,
was it like 70,000
something? Different, about 70,000 crystals.
Oh, somebody's out to impress RuPaul with his rhinestoning.
Clearly.
Wow. I'm impressed by that. What did you think, Mark?
I quite like it. I think it's got a nice hook to it, the melody and everything, but it didn't do much for me. I thought his vocals were, again, okay, a little bit off at times. I think the one thing I did like about it was that kaleidoscope effect on the back wall that he had. I quite like that. That was nice. Mm. But if that's the thing that's really drawing your attention, the song's probably not good enough, or the performance isn't good enough.
Mm. I thought there was some nice bits in it, a few bits of comedy, like just as he's walking across, as the girl walks on stage, he kind of smells his breath, just like, just make sure I'm fresh. So I thought that was a nice kind of gesture, a nice bit of comedy there. I find it slightly odd that, I don't know if you can see, but he keeps on pulling up his right trouser leg. It's almost as if he's concerned that they're slipping down. I wonder if we were speculating if his mic pack was in his back pocket or something, and it was weighing his trousers down. So he has to kind of kind of hitch them back up again, because he's a bit, feels like he's in danger of losing them or something. But, or if it's just a thing he does, but you'll notice he grabs the top of his trousers a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a thing he does. I think it's a bit of a modern dance thing, because I think I might have seen it before.
Oh, okay.
I think I might have seen it in other performers. Not necessarily Eurovision, but I think it's... I've got a feeling that it is a move rather than, oops, my pants are falling down, let's pull them back up.
I'm thinking from a practical point of view. Like, he's trying to subtly pull his trousers back up.
It's a bit like how Michael Jackson used to grab his crotch and go,
can we just wind back a bit with what you were just saying about practical? This is Eurovision. You've seen the costumes that they have over the years. What about Eurovision is practical?
True. Okay, shall we move on to song number four, which is Greece. Stefania, Last Dance. Oh, sounds like you like this one, Alex.
Oh, yes. This was in my top three. This made the top 10 list. I thought that this was done really well. I understand that there were certain... It wasn't the best green screen effects that they used, but that's because obviously they were live streaming it. But for what they were doing, I thought that was really impressive. You know, the dance, having all the closed sections and her going up the invisible stairs. I thought it worked really well in terms of a staging. It was the only one. I think it was one of the only ones where I gave it a 10 for performance.
High praise.
I also liked the costume she was wearing. I thought it kind of reminded me as almost like it was like. It weirdly reminded me of like the Teletubbies, because it had the weird screen over the belly, and it was full. But I thought she still looked great in it. This was a really good one.
Mark, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this one, although I didn't realise that the song was called Last Dance. I thought it was Let's Dance.
Oh, okay.
So I was singing Let's Dance, not Last Dance. I like the green screen effect. I think it was a clever way of doing it. Yeah, it didn't always work particularly well. But if we'd have got that in 1970s Doctor Who, Barry Letts would have been blown away, wouldn't he, with that?
We love a bit of CSO realness, don't we?
Oh, we do. And the outfit, I love that outfit. Very Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Ha! Yes, that's what I was thinking. Where have I seen that purple before?
Yeah. And I think she is so pretty as well, that singer, Stefania. And she's so young. Considering she's only 18, she did exceptionally well. Very, very well.
Very good.
Very good performance, I thought.
Really, really kind of shot up in my rankings when I saw that on stage. And it's not just because of the CSO that they're doing. I was impressed that they were prepared to pull that off live. And I thought it was interesting that we've got to 2021 and I can't really think of another act in Eurovision that's actually tried that before. As you said, it's 1970s technology, that is. CSO.
Yeah.
Or green screen, as we call it now. It's been around for decades, but nobody's really used it to that effect on the live show before. So kudos to them for giving that a go. And like you said, didn't come off 100%, but it's very difficult with masking and that kind of stuff when you're doing green screen and the smallest crease can make it suddenly be visible. So gave it a good go. Okay, moving on to song number five, Austria, Vincent Bueno with Amen. Now, again, this was a deliberate choice, I think, to slow things down again after the hype of Greece. Personally, I think it came across a bit X Factor winner, but I quite liked it though, despite me saying that. That you may think that's a negative thing, but not necessarily. I actually quite liked it. What did you guys think?
I really liked this one. I was a bit gutted it didn't get through, it didn't qualify. The verses are a little bit, but it's the hook of the chorus. That really sold it to me. And I think, love that coat he's wearing. I can see myself wearing that.
That's a frock coat.
I really can. Well, I do like a frock coat. It has to be said. With glittery lapels, what's not to love? I liked it. Yeah, it was very pared back. It was the lights behind it. It was very. I thought it was quite sophisticated in a Eurovision way, really. And I like all the tunnel of lights around him. I liked it.
Yeah, very nice kind of black and white theming to it.
Yeah.
Without tons of colour exploding all over the screen, which, you know, you could just have easily have done just for the sake of it, but very good. Mm. Alex, what did you think?
This is one of the ones where, you know, it was a nice song, but for me, it didn't blow me away particularly.
Mm.
I thought just repeating like the same word in the same sentence in the chorus, I wasn't impressed.
Fair
in
enough.
Terms of the lyricing on that, which I know is strange because there are other times where people have just repeated the same word once, like in Fuego, which was Cyprus's entry back in 2018 or 19? 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just missed a couple of the marks for me, but it wasn't a terrible song.
Okay. On to song number six then, Poland, Rafał and The Ride. You're waving your hand, Mark. Just
ride on. Ride on.
Not your thing.
It's... Yeah. It just wasn't very good, was it? Vocally, it wasn't very good. The stage was all right. I like quite like the 80s vibe, the neon tubing and stuff like that. But no, it didn't do it for me at all, really.
That just made me think. Our friend Dan mentioned this last night when we were watching it, and it made me giggle a little. A few of the acts throughout Eurovision have used what Dan described as bisexual lighting because of the colours, okay. Because the colours of it, the purple and the blue and the pink, are the colours of the bisexual flag.
Oh, right.
So we've seen that like a few times. It makes me think like, this is an interesting choice. I wonder why all of these people have gone for this same lighting scheme.
Okay. Could be a message that they're sending. I had no idea about that, actually. Interesting.
It was only something that we noticed last night. But, yeah, in terms of this one, I don't know if it was okay. Performance, I mean, the lighting was all right. Vocals were a bit of an issue at times.
He's a PE teacher. I said he's a PE teacher.
Well,
stick to your day job. That's all I'm going to say, boo-boo. Stick to your day job.
On my notes, I wrote down, some people buy a Ferrari when they have a midlife crisis. Others enter Eurovision. It felt a bit shady. Like that. Sorry, it was really shady. It felt a bit thin. I needed beefing up somehow. The kind of backing track. Not the strongest vocal, I agree. And just oddly timed pyro. It's like, we need something. Pyro. Psh. It just felt really random. Just shoving a pyro in quite early, actually. You need to wait for your big moment. You know, your kind of bridge bit where you want to go bang, pyro. Or if you've got something that needs an impact. His was just more like, I'm singing and pyro. Okay.
I'm singing.
But having said that, they get bonus points for having a live backing singer actually on stage with them, and they didn't have to do that.
No, they didn't. But they were shoved away at the back of the stage, weren't they?
They do. I mean, it has been a tendency in previous years where they've shoved them behind the scenery, haven't they? So,
yeah.
Okay, it was at the back, but at least they were on stage, which is better than we get a lot of years.
Yeah.
On then to song number seven, Moldova, Natalia Gordienko with Sugar.
All I can say about this one is that the Kylie impersonators are back again.
Yes. I get what you mean.
And there it is again, that bisexual lighting I was talking about. She's got the same colour, she's using the pink, the blue and the purple.
Oh, and it's neon again. Wow, how innovative.
It's neon again.
Honestly. Okay, Mark.
I mean,
oh, sorry, Alex, carry on.
No, I was just going, Dad, you know, it was a nice song. You know, you can't go wrong with the kind of the Kylie effect. You know, it works in terms of, like, an outfit, the song that goes with it. My only real comment I would have said is that I would have gone with different hair. Like, something about the hairstyle she's got on just does not fit. Like, it looks a bit kind of surreal and out of place with everything else.
Mark, what did you think?
I don't get the vibe around this one, because it seemed like there was a bit of a vibe growing around it and a bit of momentum. And it's not a bad song. Catchy, I like the dance routine. But I don't get the hype about it. I don't think it's that good. And I know what Alex means about the hair. It just seems a little bit, I don't know, doesn't seem quite right for the outfit and the dance routine. Seems a bit too short, maybe. It needs to be a bit more wild and curly. Yeah, it needs to be. She needs to whip her hair back and forth
in
a song like this. Where she's dancing and flapping and moving around, her hair needs to go with it. And it didn't. So it did stick out a bit, I think.
You should have taken some advice from Serbia in terms of the hair. We'll get to that in a minute.
I mean, do you remember the preview video, Mark, which was full of dancing ice cream cones and cakes and stuff? And it was all about sugar.
Yeah.
So
how
did you come up with a video?
Where were they?
Exactly. How did you come up with a video about that, where it's all about putting you in a diabetic coma, pretty much, to this, which has got no sugar at all, no sugar-encrusted lips. None of that imagery from the preview has been carried through, and it just seemed really odd. Even on the LED backdrop, there's just nothing that says sugar about it that ties it in with the video. Oh, there's that kind of disconnect. That didn't help it. The vocals weren't particularly strong, I don't think. So I'm a bit baffled how it qualified. Also, not a chorus. Not a chorus. I will be saying that many times tonight. But it's a kind of perfect post-lockdown song when she's shouting, come over, come over, because that's what you're doing to all your mates when lockdown's lifted.
Yeah.
So it's very
I did like the lyric, got sugar on my tongue. Very suggestive. Very sexual.
On then to song number 8, and what we feared might happen actually did happen, and I'm so disappointed and so sad for Iceland that it had to be them that it happened to. So unless you happen to be listening to us, yet don't know anything about the Eurovision news and what was happening in the 2021 contest. The competitors were being tested every couple of days or so for COVID, just to make sure that everybody was still okay and there was no potential for spreading. Unfortunately, one of the Icelandic delegation tested positive, I think, sort of Saturday they took a test. Sunday morning they found out that somebody in the delegation, not the performers, but in the kind of support wider delegation, had tested positive, which caused them to miss the turquoise carpet opening ceremony. They all needed to stay at the hotel whilst they were retested to make sure. So what happened was they were quarantining at the hotel Sunday, Monday, retested Tuesday so that they could then attend rehearsals on the Wednesday. And unfortunately, the Tuesday test revealed one of Gagner Magnid, one of the backing support people, was positive. This was really difficult for them because it was Johan, who's one of the keyboardists. He's a dancer, he doesn't sing. Vocally, it makes no difference at all if he's there. or not. He's part of the show, though. They could, I suppose, have got a stand-in, somebody to, because it's like a three-part keyboard, as you'll see when we talk about it. But the delegation made the decision that, no, if one of them can't go on, none of them will go on. They're a team and they're sticking together. And so they declined the opportunity to perform with five piece and a replacement, perhaps. And so what we found was they were using the rehearsal, the second rehearsal they had from the previous week, in place of their performance. So it wasn't the live on tape that was recorded back in Iceland. This was recorded in the Ahoy Arena on the previous week during rehearsals. So it fitted in fairly seamlessly. I mean, if you didn't know that they weren't actually live on stage, could you honestly have said that you would have realised that that was a pre-recorded performance?
Not at all. You would never have guessed.
I think they did such a good job because they were able to use that tape to seamlessly transition from the live arena into the rehearsal recording. And okay, yes, if you looked carefully at some of the shots of the arena that were used as part of that performance, you could see it was a bit sparse and at times because it was just the crew and stuff. But that's only if you're looking for it, really. The general viewer probably wouldn't have noticed unless it had, I guess it was pointed out to them by most of the national commentators. But anyway, so that's how we got the situation where we are. Let's talk about the song. Mark, what did you think?
I've written two words. It's great. Do you know, it's not as good as Think About Things. I'm going to put it out there because I know plenty of other people have said it and plenty of other people will be thinking it. But actually getting them to see it performed together on the stage with their outfits, with their dance routines, with their props, it just came together so well. And that's one thing I will say about a lot of the songs from Semi 1 and this Semi as well, is that when I just previewed and heard their songs, a lot of the songs I was a bit like, eh, it's all right. But the performances seem to really lift them this year. And this is one of those. The song was like, oh, yeah, that's a nice song. I quite like that. But the performance and the staging, bringing it all together, and kind of like, they're just having so much fun. They love it. Mm. And, oh, joyous, lovely, beautiful. Mwah.
Alex, what did you think?
Yeah, this was my favourite of the night. Iceland's was.
Ah, your number one.
Right. Yeah, this was my number one. You know, I can't really fault this one all that much. You know, it's exactly what we were expecting from this group.
Yeah.
You know, they delivered everything that we were hoping that they would for this competition. This is why, you know, this is why they're like one of the favourites to win.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones where it pays to rewatch the performance a couple of times because there's so much in it. The 8-bit characters, the gestures and the faces being pulled by the backing dancers, the Gegnermagnet team and stuff. And I just love the blend of vocals from Daddy and his two backing singers. It's lovely. And Daddy plays a good...
Then, of course...
Sorry, go on.
And then, of course, the keyboards. The keyboards were amazing. Like, when they did that whole thing of, like, when they all sort of...
They click together, don't they? Into a circle.
That was so clever and so cool.
Yeah, and a nice evolution of the staging that they had, sort of their national performance, where they had those kind of instruments. But this was the next step up. And there's videos on YouTube showing you how they put it all together. And actually, I think it's like his family made them. This is all very much a homemade project. And Daddy plays a good game, I was going to say, because he knows how to keep on the socials. He's been posting stuff throughout the week on how his journey really to Rotterdam and how the performance was put together and how the band got together and stuff like that. He's done like little concerts where he's covered Eurovision songs. He's really engaged with the Eurovision fan community. He's kept up that presence throughout the year that we had, where, you know, 2020 to 2021. So he's kept in people's minds. And I just thought he pulled a blinder. And I'm just so sad that, as I said, they didn't get their chance to do it live in front of the audience like that. But I'm so glad they got there and we got a rehearsal performance in the can, just because I feared it would have gone the way of Montaigne if they had to use the live on tape recording, and perhaps wouldn't have gone quite as well as they would have liked. But yeah, I would agree with you, Mark. In terms of the song, not as good as last year, but still very good. And I like the fact that he had that choir, which was full of Eurovision fans, basically submitting their bits.
Yeah.
Okay, enough about Iceland. Moving on to song number 9, Serbia, Hurricane with Loco Loco.
Yeah, it's standard Eurovision fare, I thought. It was, it didn't do a great deal for me. I can see why it qualified. A lot of choreography, lots of gyrating females.
Gyrating females.
I don't really know what to say. It's again, it's one of those. It's a pretty generic dance song. Is really what I thought.
Do you know what I wrote? I wrote Drag Race Final 3 vibes. It is Rue saying, yes, "You're going to record a verse to my new single, blah blah blah." Now available on iTunes. That's the vibe I'm getting. I'm not calling them drag queens. Don't get me wrong.
I can see it.
I'm not, but that kind of performance is very much Drag Race Final 3 for me.
Yeah, I get that. I can see it.
But we got a key change, so, you know, that ticks one of my boxes. Mm-hmm. Alex, what did you think?
Let's face it. It was. They might as well have just brought the Pussycat Dolls on. They've got the same kind of effect.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
I thought it was a bit generic, if I'm perfectly honest.
I mean, that didn't make it a bad song.
No.
Like, I thought it was thoroughly entertaining with the choreography and the dancing and everything, but
lots of energy behind it. They absolutely sold the heck out of that performance. Yeah.
You can't go wrong with selling a high energy song.
Yeah, absolutely. We cannot fault them on that. Really good. Really sold it. So we go from that. And as we're seeing the pattern for this is we get that and then we need to come down again.
Yeah.
So we move on to song number 10, Georgia, with You.
this was a weird one, because I didn't think it was a bad song. It was quite very broody, was the word I used to describe it, and I think he's got a good voice. I think again it was too much of a difference. I know they want to give us a varied show with different genres. They don't want the same one after the other. But it was so different after Serbia to go to Georgia. It almost felt a little bit jarring, like you were actually looking at something, a completely different competition.
Bit more from one to the other. More of a crash than perhaps a gentle, soft landing.
Yeah.
You needed a song to bridge it, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Something maybe a bit more mid-tempo. A mid-tempo ballad before you go something dark and broody like this was. But well sung. Can't fault his vocals. I couldn't.
No.
But, yeah. Bit indie.
To me, he looked miserable. And he looked so relieved when it was over.
Maybe he was really nervous, Gary.
It could be. It could be that, because I can't believe he would put himself forward for something like this if he didn't want to do it. You know, this isn't the kind of thing you would really go in for if it really wasn't your thing.
It might be what he was going for. That, like I say, that broody look.
It could be. He's in character.
Yeah.
Not my favourite. I put Toilet Break next to this, so.
Oof. there's nothing in the world that sentences a Eurovision song more than referring to it as a toilet break song. Like the kiss of death.
It's sorry, the death knell, that is, isn't it?
Okay, on to song number 11, Albania, with Karma. I'll start off with this one. I struggled with this one because, a bit like Serbia, I've heard it before. This could have come from Albania pretty much any time in the last 5 years, I thought. There's nothing new here.
Absolutely nothing at all.
So I really struggled to like this, unfortunately. Does anybody else feel differently?
I wrote very Albanian.
Alex?
Here's the thing about it was, she came in quite strong, I thought. Like, it was a good start, you know. She belted out that big vocal at the beginning, got us all ready for it, and then there wasn't really much else to it. Like, it was just her on the stage with a bit of smoke behind her, and that was about it.
I mean, like, she doesn't need a cast of thousands bouncing around behind her. It's just her selling the song.
You wouldn't need a cast of thousands. You wouldn't want a cast of thousands behind her because they'd all get whipped in the face by her big hair.
I think she's also suffering from the fact that she looks very similar to some of the other competitors in terms of it's a female soloist wearing a silver, sparkly, bejeweled dress kind of thing.
If Michelle Visage was judging these outfits, she'd be going mad at all these bodysuits, these silver bodysuits. She really would.
Red wig and a silver dress.
There were loads of them, though, aren't there? There are lots of these silver dresses, silver bodysuit dress kind of things.
And I think you're going to find when we hit the final, they've all been put together, so it's going to be very, very noticeable.
Marvellous.
Attack of the Clones.
Assuming, of course, that they don't all switch up their outfits for the final, because that's what I would have done. I'd have looked around and said, right, everyone's wearing the same silver bodysuit. What else have I got? And just, like, quickly picked out a different outfit. That's what I'd be doing.
On to song number 12, then. Portugal, the Black Mamba, Love Is On My Side.
Ooh.
Go on, Mark.
Well, I must admit, this was better than what I thought it was going to be. I'd pretty much written it off beforehand, but once they started, I was like, ooh, this is actually not bad. Interesting vocals, I think. Interesting vocals. Nicely staged. Some little like nice points. I love the fact it started in black and white. And, you know, I always think you need the judge of young people. Okay. I was showing some of my students some of the songs for Eurovision this year. And the one that got the most positive reaction was Portugal's.
Oh, interesting. Because
I was very surprised.
I see that as quite old-fashioned, really. Not the kind of thing you would perhaps see in a top 40 very often now. Not that I'm a big follower of the top 40. So I'm really actually surprised that you know, the demographic you were teaching actually liked it. I thought they would be put off. Wow. Just goes to show we know nothing.
We know nothing.
You're right. It was a nice... It sticks out because it's different. And not just in terms of the staging. The staging was nice. The kind of black and white 4x3 going into colour widescreen as the song kicks up a gear. But just the style of the song. I love the way it was staged, the orchestra shadows on the back screen, giving the impression that he's got a full orchestra backing him. I just thought that was great. And the screen on the side where he's got, you know, the girl walking across the screen as he's going up to the B stage. I just thought it was really well staged. And it is a song that grew on me. And when you saw it in Festival de Canção, it was okay. But it was really elevated it to some really innovative staging. They really upped their game, I think, for Eurovision for this. And this is going to do very well, I think, at the final.
I have a sneaking suspicion it'll do well. I think the tally voters will like it.
Yeah, it's going to do their best result for a while, I think. Well, I say for a while, they won it in 2017.
Yeah. It's up for 4 years.
Alex, anything to add?
No, not really. I agree with pretty much everything you said. I thought he had some really impressive vocals. I liked the general look of the group, and it kind of fit very nicely with the style. So, yeah, not really anything I could fault on it.
Okay, let's move on to song number 13 then. Bulgaria, Victoria, Growing Up is Getting Old. Go on, Alex, kick us off with this one.
So the presenter said that, you know, one of the inspirations for this performer was Billie Eilish, and I totally saw that in a lot of this performance, you know. But it was, you know, it was still quite a lovely sort of sweet tune at the end of it. You know, it was a lot calmer than a few of the others we'd heard before, and I thought some of the staging was really impressive, because obviously she's talking a lot about kind of growing up and time, and the way she was on that stage, it was like she was sitting in the bottom of an hourglass with the sand pouring down. I thought that was a really good visual element to go with the song. So I gave it 5 points. Outfit-wise, it's okay.
It's casual.
You know, blue romper.
Comfy. You
know. But you know what? Compared to, actually, we've seen, you know, some of the other artists, you know, dolled up, really flashy costuming and stuff like that.
Well, I'm not saying she needs to go flashy. I'm just saying, you know, it was a little plain. Like, she could have, there could have been some kind of, like a big patch or something embroidered on it. Or just something to give it a bit of oomph, let's say.
I personally felt that the costuming complemented the song. It felt right.
Yeah. It was nice, but I just think it could have, it just needed a bit something, just a little bit more.
Mark, anything you want to add?
No, I think you've both said it all. Very understated, really nice staging. I felt vocally was fine. She got the notes, but I struggled to understand what some of the lyrics were sometimes. And maybe she could, I don't know, enunciate a little bit clearer, I don't know. But then that's the style of the song where she's whisper singing, isn't she, a lot of the time.
Okay, on to song number 14. Finland, Blind Channel, Dark Side. So we're going from Bulgaria at the bottom of the of our wave. We're heading up to the crest again. What did you guys think?
I love a dark horse in Eurovision, and you know, Finnish rock and like that kind of Scandinavian heavy metal, that is definitely one of the underdogs of Eurovision, and I absolutely loved this song. It was an absolute headbanger from beginning to end.
I believe it's probably a bit Linkin Park. I believe. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, it was kind of Linkin Park-ish, but it's still like songs like that. You know, they don't get as much of a show in Eurovision. You know, there's only really been Lordi that's had really kind of
and
huge
success
in Eurovision with that style.
And Lordi wasn't even proper rock, some would argue. They say, well, it's Schlager rock, really. Whereas this is perhaps not quite so much. And I think you're right, it stands out because of that. And it's an underrepresented genre at Eurovision.
Yeah.
And it's great to see it in there that some countries will take that risk and go for it. And when they do, stands out.
Yeah, but if you look back over the video clips, if you look at some of the pan shots, the audience, and even like some of the other contestants in their little boxes in the green room, they were really getting into it. They were there, like, banging their heads and fist bumping and everything. Like, yeah. You can see them really enjoying this performance.
Is it up your street, Mark?
No, it's not for me. But I appreciate the diversity in the competition. I can see why some people would love it. And I can see why some people would hate it. I don't hate it. I don't have that stronger a feeling on it, to be perfectly honest. It's just not my cup of tea. But as I say, love the diversity of the contest. And I think it sometimes needs more of that diversity.
On to song number 15, Latvia. Samantha Tina. I want to keep on calling her Samantha. Samantha Tina. The moon is rising. I'm going to put my hand up and say I don't like this song. I don't like this style of song, and it doesn't have a chorus.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much all I want to say.
I will put my hand up with you on that one. This was my lowest scoring of the evening. You know, it was she was okay in that kind of like Emerald City outfit or whatever, but the fact is her vocals were a little screamy. She looked drunk while she was performing. And no. Sorry, Latvia, this was not your time.
Mark?
Yeah, totally agree. Yep. That was a very green dress as well. It was very green. Like, the greenest green that ever greened. I put that this one was a bit RuPaul's Drag Race-y as well. I thought...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
No, again, it wasn't for me. Yeah. Okay.
On to song number 16 then, nearly there. Switzerland, Jean's Tears, Tout l'Univers. Now this one, this one was heavily favoured pre-contest. Now, now that it's actually on stage, is that, you know, turning out to be true? Mark, what did you think?
I think it is a work of art. It is. Okay. I think it's not just the song. It is a work of art. That's not to say that I like it loads. When it comes to art, I know what I like, and I'm not sure I like this. I don't. It's again. I think it's a little bit too screechy in his lyrics. A little bit too high, and I think therefore some of the lyrics and the melodies are lost a little bit. Rocking, you know, I think we've said this before, kind of like there is that kind of like undercurrent of queer energy, which is brilliant. I loved it. And his outfit was very kind of like gender non-conforming. Love it. But I'm not sure I get it, I think, is where I'm going with it.
I put that.
I'm not sure I get it.
I don't get the buzz around it. And I thought his outfit was actually a bit unflattering, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Outfit was nice, but not the most flattering thing. Song, I mean, I liked the song. You know, it was a nice piece all in all. Performance-wise, just wasn't doing it.
Very good vocal.
I'm not saying the vocals weren't great. That's why the song scored so high for me. But in terms of like the rest of it, you know, I'm basing my overall scores for all the songs on, like, the actual song itself, the performance, and what they're wearing. So, you know, the good sides of the song, not so good in the performance. So this sort of ended up sort of in sort of the low middles for me.
Yeah, well, we should wait and see on the final if he actually does the business.
He did that weird thing, like when he's trying to do a bit of dancing, where they get the two, their index and middle finger, and do that whole moving backwards and forwards of the hand when dancing, and it just didn't seem to fit. And then he's doing all the weird waving about of his arms. I don't get it. I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I'm missing something because I know so many people love it.
Yeah. Okay. On to our final song of the night. Song number 17, Denmark, ooh. Fear and Flam.
Gary, you need to talk about this first.
Yes.
I love this so much. And it's so hard that it didn't qualify. This is going to be another Verona, I think. Whereas in some of the songs in the contest this year have an 80s vibe, you know, some elements to it. This is out and out 80s. It goes for, we want to do an 80s song and we are going to deliver on every single element. And this could be lifted straight out of 1988 Eurovision. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love the fact they've sung in Danish for the first time since 98.
Oh, that's good. That's cool.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was just sort of looking at it and I had this image of them planning this song and saying to this man, all right, what kind of 80s elements do you want to use? And him just replying, yes.
Yeah. All.
Yes.
All of them. We'll have everything.
Which elements? Just, yes, 80s. All of it.
It was brilliant. If there was one thing I could fault them on, and this is purely because I have watched the national final video far too many times, is the national final. The national final video has a live orchestra and there's orchestration and there's more strings, whereas the backing track and the studio version is a bit more synthy guitar. And I personally felt the live orchestra track used at DMGP was better. Yes, I know it was very old school, but I got so used to hearing that when I heard this on the stage, I was a bit, it doesn't sound quite the same, but it's still a great song. Mark, anything? Would you like to disagree or anything?
No, they were clearly having the time of their lives. They were so happy. The smiles on the face were so infectious. I've written... Danish Freddie Mercury for the chap in the purple jacket. I think it was a great show. They put on a really good show, a really good performance. Very joyous, very retro, but not in a cheesy way. Or maybe it is in a cheesy way, but whichever way it is, it's good.
Yeah. And
it is surprised.
Maybe it's having been a Eurovision fan for a very long time, it was a nice reminder of what we used to see in the contest. So there was that element of nostalgia about it, whereas the majority of the audience now are probably thinking, what on earth? I don't know if it would have done any better if it was in English, but then you might have lost something of it.
Yeah.
So I all respect to them for sticking to their guns and saying, nope, we are doing this in the original Danish. We're not changing things.
Fair. Yeah,
and so that kind of leads us neatly on to the qualifiers. Let me bring them up. There we go. So only 10 could go through, and it was cut right down to the wire, wasn't it?
It was. Yes. It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, because right down to that very last entry being sort of announced as going through to the final, I had my fingers crossed for Denmark, but in my heart of hearts I knew that it wasn't going to win over what was left, because they were still up against Austria and also Finland, and I thought Finland in particular was very strong and was going to get the slot. So I'd already resigned myself, I think, to it not qualifying by that point. So we have our 10 qualifiers: Albania, Serbia, Bulgaria, Moldova, Portugal, Iceland, San Marino, Switzerland, Greece, and Finland. Out of those 10, do either of you disagree with any of them?
I think the only one I would probably take out of there actually is Albania, I think.
Yeah.
Is the only one that wasn't for me. And I would shove in Denmark instead, probably.
Mm.
Or Austria. That was the only one for me that I thought, not sure about that. The rest, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Switch out Albania for Denmark for me.
I probably would have pulled Moldova for Denmark. Because I just don't think it was particularly good. But a tough semi. There was a large range, I think, of styles there. Very difficult, I think, for decisions to be made. I am dying to find out the results breakdown on Sunday, to find out how close Denmark were to qualifying. Yeah. They could have been way off the mark.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be even more upset if I find out they missed out by just a few votes or something of getting a place. We shall wait.
What you wish for.
We shall wait and see. Right. Well, I think that brings our review of semi-final 2 to a close.
Yes.
I think it does.
The big night is ahead of us, so we should be watching the grand finale. And, of course, we'll be doing a pod after that, where we should be looking at what scored well, what didn't score so well, and where the juries and the televoters disagreed. That's the most interesting part of the grand finale, isn't it?
It is,
how people score. So we hope you'll join us for that. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.